want to take a moment, and it'll only take a moment, to introduce our guest speaker this morning. Pastor Dan and Starlene Starland are here with us, and they, Pastor Dan's coming to speak. He's no stranger to us because a number of years ago, 10 years ago, I think, that we partnered with the Starlands in planting a church here in Terrace out of TPA and with the partnership of the Starlands, Wapsnagwatam, which is now residing on Wall Street in the former Salvation Army building. And so that congregation is growing and the Lord is blessing them, which is exciting for us because we were part of that at the beginning. And now the church has grown and matured to a point where they are beginning to look to planting other churches as well. And so, Pastor Dan, if you would come at this time, and he's coming this morning to share with us vision that the Lord has placed upon his heart for the days ahead. And the reason that I wanted him to come this morning is because though the church plant, Wapsnagwatam, is on its own feet and the Lord's using the ministry there to reach into the area around us, we still feel as a leadership that we have our fingers in the pie. And so we want to continue to be a part of what the Lord is doing in you and through you in your ministry at Wapsnagwatam. And so, Lord, bless you. Thank you for coming and sharing with us this morning the Lord's vision upon your heart.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Lowell. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in Father's house, right? Well, some of you are with me. I'm one of those speakers that like to have interaction, so if I ask you a question, the least you could do is nod, okay? And want to be sensitive to what you're used to, and I'll start my clock. Here we go. Okay? Simigigit. Sigurumanak. Christian Nisim, the Blit Homequist, Demflop, Nope, Sing Gank. Now you need to pray for the interpretation, right? Ask Charles. I was just addressing you as would be protocol in a public gathering, often in a feast. They would begin with Simgiget. That's the male version of the persons of renown or status, Simgiget. Skadamanak would be the female of cultural status. Christian Nisim, I think you figured out Christian, right? Okay. Nisim is this friend or brother. Wek would be brother. Leblet is pastor. Holmquist. And to be culturally sensitive, we need to address him because he's your chief. He's the shemoiget of this house, and he's been placed here by God. So we honor him. You guys are blessed with your pastor. You guys are blessed. We are known to many of you. Some of you know me as the bus driver that wears the cowboy hat. Some of you that are younger know me as the bus driver that drove you around a bend all the way to History Maker a few times. I have a mailbox up there at the top of the stairs. Name's on it, Dan Starland. In the house, we have the First Lady of Wapsnagwatam. Hon, can you wave at us? There you go. And my older daughter, Nishira, is with us as well. Regardless of who you know me to be or who you assume I am, I'm a servant of the King just like the rest of you. God has given vision to Star and I, and bringing alongside a task force, Pastor Lowell and Brother Ron, Glenn Woods, Edgar Lapaceros, and Dave Solms. And together they provide leadership to rein me in, to keep me in line, to make sure I'm going the direction that they feel God is leading. I am in no way a lone ranger. We work together. We're together. We're together with you. There's no such thing as a plan and a purpose of God that God would give vision to an individual and expect that individual to accomplish it. If we go back several hundred years, we arrive at a region in the north coast of what was not even known as British Columbia then, to a people that was inhabited, that inhabited the land in this territory where you now are, is the Tsimshian people. We have representatives here. We have the McNeil children. They're part Kitsilas or Kalispi, right? They are also part Nishka, right? So their mom was Kitlakdamix. And their dad was, I guess he's Kitwan Silk and Kitsilas, so hybrids, there you go. And in the house, we have a representative of Lakalzap, our brother Charles, that is here. Some of you know it as Greenville. These are the people that God has called me to. You look at me, I'm Komshiwa. Pray for the interpretation. Here it comes. White man. Okay? Literal translation. Komshiwa is just a bleached out drift log laying on the beach. Right? My wife, she's Macaw. Macaw is north coast of Washington State. I would be Babach Dit. People with no land. So, this is who I am. But that isn't who God's called me to. God has not called me to a land, but God has called me to a people. God has called me to a people. We need to answer the call, and we're answering the call versus meeting the financial demands on life. God called me into ministry, and all my ministry has been bivocational. I've been called not to a living, but I've been called to a people. I've been called to speak life. And for 29 years, when I was just after my 20th birthday, my dad said, "Dan, guess what? The God's called us to leave Gitanyahu, and guess who he's called to replace me?" 20 years old, I started ministry. I kind of did things backwards. I started ministry, then later went to Bible college to qualify. And there's a call of God on our life. Call of God on our life to speak hope and to speak life. Culturally, I would say I'm more Alugi Get than I am Komshiwa. Let's wait for the translation. Here it comes. Alugi Get is this First Nations person. In the Gitsan language, well, Nishkat would be the same. Today we begin, and our text is Psalm 46:10. This is a text that God spoke to me. You know, God speaks in an audible voice, right? It wasn't just to Samuel, as we read in Scripture. You read in Scripture that God spoke to Samuel. All he did was call his name, right? Finally, Eli, the great man of God, the prophet, the high priest, who should have understood and recognized the voice of God, did not. It's okay if I wander around. Okay, that you gave me a cordless mic, so it's okay. Right? So here, whoops, sorry, I'm tweaking it. Just turn it down. I'm picking up my own gain here. There we go. This is what he spoke to him. He simply called his name. Simply called his name. Finally, Eli says, well, when God speaks your name again, simply declare to him, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. All of us have been called. All of us have been called to some capacity, to some extent, to do something more than attend a house of prayer. For God called me. God called me. 16-year-old boy. A woman drove 3,700 miles. Came to our home and getting you and spoke to my dad and says, do you have a son? His name is Daniel. Yes, I do. She laid her hands on me. And she began to prophesy over me. And this is what she said. The Lord God has called you to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the First Nations people of the Northwest of British Columbia. 16 years old. The call of God came to my heart, came to my life. And for 3 years I ran from that. Come on, God. Hello. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to preach. I don't want to pastor. I had aspirations. I had desires of doing something other than what Dad did. My dad's a pastor. How many know when God calls you, you might as well quit fighting? And after 3 years, I finally agreed that my parents said, okay, Dan, we're going to help you go to Bible college. We want you to go. And I said, yeah, I'll go for 1 year. At 19, I entered Bible college. I went for 1 year. And after that 1 year, the middle of the summer break, my dad says, we're moving on. You're staying here. Wow. Thank you for kicking me out, Dad. The plan and the purpose of God and vision came. And in that vision, God, in that first summer, God reiterated and re-spoke to me and reconfirmed the call of ministry upon my life. So my ministry began. I didn't go back to Bible college after the first year because I was involved in ministry. Eventually I was able to go back. I completed my studies. And I was in the basement of the academic building. I'm a morning guy. So it's like about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the basement. I'm wandering back and forth. As you notice, I kind of do, right? I was wandering back and forth and I was talking to God. I was having conversations with God. God was speaking back to me. And this is an audible voice that I heard, just like Samuel. He didn't call my name. He didn't say Dan. But this is what he said. Be still and know that I am God. My questions to God that early morning was this. God, I'm completing my studies. I need direction. I need some clarity as to where you want me to go and how I am to go there. God sometimes does not answer our questions because we ask the wrong question. But God speaks into our heart and into our life the things we need to know. The things we need to know to be faithful to the call that he puts on our heart and upon our life. He spoke to me that verse. I heard it with my ear. Be still and know that I am God. So now for the last almost 27 years, that's what has directed me. That is what has influenced our ministry. We pastored in Gidinyao. That's where I started. A young whippersnapper. 19 years old. Average congregational member, 63. Oh, God gave us a youth pastor. Where's the youth? God knows what he's doing, right? God is faithful. Now, God has expanded ministry again. Now, from this comes Simkenk. Simkenk is simply the way, the path. dem flop, nope, sim gank. The statement I began with this morning is this. We're all on this path together. We, the church, have abused the gospel and abused the people that we've brought it to. First contact came with intent to conquer. The gospel came. We look back to the history of the church and we see the history of the church. There's some ugly parts of it, right? We really think of the Crusades. Things that were done in the name of Christ. The message of Shemkenk. The message that God has put on my heart. The message that God has placed upon us is a message of restoration. Message of restoration. There needs to be a restoration of proper relationship between Christ and people. The people of this land, the people of this region, where we have been welcomed, but we haven't been faithful to. Checking my time. You're okay, right? Oh, good. I'm only halfway. Luke 14:25, we read this. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. God calls all of us. God has called us into something. And some of us are in the context of business and in business realm and in the marketplace. God has called us, but God has called us to be a person of influence. A person of influence. God raises up a white kid. God raises up a white kid. Okay? I was born to a white family, a bunch of Kumshua. Okay? My parents were Idaho Spuds. Okay, so I'm an import. When I was 7 years old, we moved to Reserve, and I lived on Reserve. I grew up on Reserve. That's my life. Why? Because God was conditioning me, preparing me to call me at the age of 16. Go! Where am I supposed to go? To those who you live with, those who you rub shoulders with, right? Those who are within the context of your sphere of influence. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Today, I'm presenting to you ministry. I'm presenting to you, Sim Gank. This is something that's been stirring in my heart for a while. June of 2010, God began to stir this in me. I had hopes of by June of 2012 that this would be off and running, but there seemed to be one setback after another. It seemed to be one wall after another. A lot of times that wall was me. As we're going to begin to look into the book of Hebrews and look into the life of Abraham, the call of Abraham, you need to go to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, you are going to hear and you're going to read and you're going to see. You're going to see a man that had it all together. You're going to see a man that knew where he was going until God showed up. We have our plans, right? Scripture tells us that. Man makes his plans. But God directs his path. I have plans. I knew where I was going. And God says, do you? Let me clue you in. You have an idea, but your ideas are tainted by what you believe you should be doing. Abraham was called. And what did it say there? It said this. By faith, he lived as an alien in a land. Verse 9, Hebrews 11, 9. By faith, he lived in an alien, as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is what God told Abraham. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make you your name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. In thee shall the families, all the families of the earth, be blessed. Go back to his initial call. Leave Ur. Go to a place I'll show you. See the faith in it? Sometimes God gives vision. God gives vision that excites us, that stirs us. But he only gives us what we need. He only gives us what we need. God gives us vision for what purpose? To stir faith. Because if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, what does it tell us there? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. But God is stirring faith. God is stirring faith in you, just like he stirred faith in me. God is stirring faith in us, and God is leading us to things, to things that are going to stretch us. They're going to stretch us because it makes us uncomfortable. Try walking into a building full of First Nations people, and you're come show. You know what? Today, you may think I'm not, but I'm very uncomfortable here. Why? Because this is a culturally uncomfortable for me. Okay? I'm wearing a tie. I'm using a microphone. I'm trying to stay behind the pulpit. I'm trying to limit it to 30 minutes. But I'm just stirred in my heart with what God challenges me with. God challenges me with faith. Let me tell you what is happening. Let me tell you what is happening. Simgank started on the 15th of January. 15th of January of this year. According to my schedule, that's two years late, right? Well, a year and a half, 18 months behind schedule. Where do we begin? We begin house services in Gitaos. You know where that is, right? You come to, I call it Osk. Okay? Gitaos. You head east. First community you come to after Gossen. Okay? Just after you turn into Cleanza Drive, you just turn to the left. There it is, Gitaos. This Wednesday night, we're in a home. A young family have come back to God. Young family have come back to God. They have influence in that community, amongst the youth of that community. A community that has been plagued with a spirit of suicide. And this young family says this: we want to host a home group in our house. We want to host church in our house. 5529 Tetaneda Drive. There you go. That's where we're at. You know what we're doing there? We're speaking life. God's stirring things up. Last month, we were in Kispiox. On the 7th and 8th of February, we were in Kispiox holding services in a church that has been empty for years. They've had two or three people that would come occasionally. Pastors were holding the fort. The people that were holding services there were discouraged, ready to quit, ready to give up. We come into that place, the house was full, not because Dan Starlin was there, but because God showed up. God showed up. Lives were transformed. People gave their hearts back to God. People that had been involved in ministry returned and committed themselves to the faithful call of God. God's doing something in our region. God's doing something here. And God is using you. God is using me. God is stirring us to begin to step out in faith and say, okay, God, what are you calling me to do? God, how are you stretching me? Can't be like a 16-year-old kid like I did. I don't think so, God. Right? It's time for us to begin to say, what do you want me to do? Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. What's God calling you to do? Well, Simkenk is my thing. I didn't ask you if Simkenk was your thing. I'm asking you what God has called you to do. That's a challenge God has given to us. Challenge that God is speaking into our heart. God is a challenge that God is speaking into our life. This is what God is saying to us. Where are you going? What are you doing? My last year in high school, in those good old days, they gave you aptitude tests, right? Where do you want to go? They give you an aptitude test and say, yeah, I think this is what you should do. My aptitude test said that I was supposed to be an undertaker. Being in ministry, I bury way too many people. This week, five deaths, one a suicide, one an elder, one an overdose. This is happening around us here. And we are blind to it, but it happens on a daily basis. Last night, we had service at Wapsnagwadam. Why? Because there was a family that was grieving because their dad OD'd. They found him 4 days after he had passed with a syringe in his arm. Kind of graphic. That's reality. What's God called us to do? To begin to speak life. Begin to speak life. Begin to speak hope and life to a people. People that are lost and dying. Go back to what I mentioned and I alluded to a moment ago. Talking about how the church has brought a stigma to Christianity that has become repulsive to First Nations people. The very message that God has called me to speak is rejected simply because it's in the context of Christianity and the church. I'm talking to you about walls. Does that mean I don't do what God has called me to do? No, that means I need to be more faithful in it. I need to be more faithful in it. I need to be culturally sensitive. I can greet my brother and I say, I'm a Hitlukwe. Good morning, brother. That's all I said. I can't be a Kompshoa. I can't be a Luhiget. Means I can't be white and I can't be Indian. But what do I have to be? I have to be Christ. What do we have to be? We have to be the hands and feet of Christ to a world that is dying. We have to be. If you signed up, if you've been to the foot of the cross, wherever it was, and you made the prayer, you said the prayer, I cease my rebellion. I quit my rebellion to you, God. I give my life to you, my heart, my soul, my life, my everything. The scripture I read from Luke, if you're not willing to give up all, then get out of the way. Oh, I said that out loud, didn't I? Whoops. You can tell I'm just a bit passionate, right? Just a bit. God speaking hope and God speaking life into our region. I need you to pray. I need you to pray. I need you to catch vision. I need to be able to catch vision that goes beyond your home and or even your neighborhood. Maybe God hasn't called you. Maybe God hasn't called you to be out on the field, but God has called you to pray. God has called you to pray. God has called you to talk to Him. This thing feels like it's falling off my ear. Heislaw, October 2013, we began ministry in Kennemat Village, and there we just had it there this last week. We had a home group there again. We're establishing a work back in Heislaw Village again. It's been 10 years since they've had a work in Heislaw Village. Going back in Heislaw Pentecostal, it's been 8 years since they've had a pastor. You guys are blessed. You have two. Here's a church that is struggling because no leadership. These are the ones God's called me to. So you know how God facilitates me being able to go? Oh, my time's up. I'll say this last thing quickly, okay? You know how God facilitates things? You notice I have a stick. It used to be a branch, and it didn't belong on the tree, so I ripped it off and thought I'd make it look authentic, and I carve a head on the top of it, and I said, okay, yeah, there we go. Looks like a laskeek. You know what that is? An eagle. Okay? You know what clan I am? No. Gomshua. Don't have a clan. Don't have a name other than Lachos Amon. You know what that is? Rotten humpback salmon. For years I've been known as Lachos Amon. Right? God's called me to speak hope and to speak life. And if they want to call me Lachos Amon, I'll come as Lachos Amon and I'll stink. It's death to those who are dying. The message of the cross. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. Gadaos, we see that there's work that is happening there. You think that's Kitsilas, but it's really Kalspi. I was corrected. That's Kalspi out there on Queensway. It's Kalspi. It's the Tsimshian nation. That's their language. That's their dialect, the Tsimshian people. That's their reserve would be Kalspi. You know where I live in Jack Pine? Where's the mayor? Where's Wally? I saw him earlier. Okay. If you Google Jack Pine, it'll come up as Kalspi Indian Reserve number 6. There we go. So I'm back on the res. That's why I got a couple of trucks up on blocks. I'm just fitting in. God's doing the work in Gataos. So right where we're at right now, a restoration is happening in Heislaw. Oh, powerful work that God is doing. Last Sunday night, I missed church. Thank God that God has given me an associate. My son, Jaron, came on in September to open the door. Open the door. And on Sunday evening, I was doing a memorial service. A memorial service for, he was the minister of the United Church, called me, a Pentecostal, to do the service for his wife. And he invited the United Church minister from Kitimat and the United Church minister from Terrace. Can you go and be with us at this service? But I'm going to get this Pentecostal guy to officiate. God's doing a work. God is doing something there. God does things outside of the context of what we think it should happen, right? Sitting right over there where Brother Dan is sitting. I was sitting there. We were hosting it. Your church was hosting us for our summit, Aboriginal summit. My vein in my leg blew out, became ulcerated, became infected. I went off to emergency after I left that chair there. God has a way of getting us out of the way, right? God knew that Marino needed to drive bus, right? Let's get Dan out of the way. So for years, I've been a bus driver. Now I'm a relief driver. Why? Because I have a messed up leg. But messed up leg, you know what it does? It gives me sympathy. It gives me compassion. It gives me a sense of mercy for those that are infirm. God, I thought I already had that. I have a gift of healing. Yeah, I pray for people. I see them raised up. I see cancers go. Wow. It's not because of me, but it's because of a gift of God. This is what God is stirring me. So here, he brings me into Hyslop, a woman who has passed. He brings me into a home, and there in that home, I begin to pray. I begin to speak life. And God just does, it begins to do a work where it begins to melt the hearts of that family. Hearts that would have been hardened because of the abuse of the gospel. What is stopping us? Oh, I can't do that. Can't do that. God has blessed me with a helpmate. You read Genesis, God said it's not good for man to be alone, right? He gave me a first lady. Wow. You know, her name is Starlene. My last name is Starlund, right? So it's got to be a match made in heaven, right? Are you stuttering? No, that's just my name. God's gifted her in ministry. Not public speaking, but she ministers in song. Repeatedly she's asked, can you come and can you sing this song? And it prepares the way and opens their hearts to receive the gospel. Kispiax, I'm winding down. I know I'm over, sorry. There's a move now in the upper Skeena. I'm back there. I'm back in Kispiax on the 4th and the 5th of April. Back in Kispiax, there is the reestablishment of pastors there. You need to pray. You need to pray for the Gawa family. Gawa are First Nations people. They're credentialed with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Leonard and Annie Gawa. They're seniors. They're seniors in their late 70s. Their sons in their early 50s are stepping up and say, yes, what can we do? So I'm pushing them into ministry because God has called them. God has called them. When we were there in February, they lifted the name and the stigma that goes with it, Lagost Amon, rotten humpback salmon. Right? Sometimes they just say Lucum's Amon. You know what that is? That's Charles. Lucum is stupid. That's a proper pulpit type of definition. Okay? Okay. It was either Lucca or Lucum, depending on how they were feeling. They removed that name and they said, no longer are you Lucum's Amon. But you're Amawek, good brother. It's not because of what I do, but it's because of what God has done. God's doing a work. God's doing a work. And you're going to begin to hear. You're going to begin to see. I encourage you the next time you drive to Smithers that you pray. And you begin to pray, and you begin to pray over that whole highway. Because along that highway, the first native community you come to is Gitaos. Gitaos is steeped in suicide, steeped in something they've never had church there. They've never had the gospel there. Can you imagine it? A North American community that doesn't have God. 15 minutes to the east of us, that's what we are. Where's God called us? This is our Jerusalem. Maybe if we get as far as Hagel, we call it Samaria, right? Just go a little bit further. Where's God calling us? God's calling us to life. The Nass Valley, we went there in December. We brought the message of hope, and God spoke profoundly. In Getlakdamix, he called it Ianch. That's where Bobby works, right? You still work over there? Okay. Getlakdamix, the people of the grizzly bear, right? And then we went down to Gencol. That's King Koleth. God transformed lives. It was a Christmas to believe in was a message. That was a drama, an opportunity to speak the word in a choir. We brought a choir and our choir sang. And afterwards we had altar call. Everybody in the house came forward. There were people that were inebriated, bound in alcohol, staggering up the aisle. They left that altar free. Why? Because of the power of God. What's God called you to? That's what God's called me to. What's God called you to? Oh, I can't do that. I didn't ask you what you can't do. I didn't even ask you what you can do. I simply said this. What has God called you?